Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, and once again this morning, I do have the privilege of welcoming a true unsung hero in the sport of thoroughbred racing. He does a job that many of you may not even know exists, but it is vital to the success of our sport and vital to the success of those individuals who do indeed find themselves in the spotlight day in and day out. Please join me in welcoming Javier Torres, who has served as the clerk of scales at Keeneland and Churchill Downs for the past several years. It is a vital job, and he is with me now. Javier, first of all, congratulations on being this week's unsung hero.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate you guys thinking about me in that manner.
Well, I know you don't look at yourself in that fashion, and you were destined to be in horse racing. You come from a racing family, but the way that you fell into becoming a clerk of scales, that's been a journey for you. Take me back to the beginning and tell me the story.
Well, like you said earlier, I mean, I was kind of born into the race, you know, the racing game. My dad rode races in Mexico. As you know, my older brother is a retired jockey. My younger brother rode races. I galloped horses for, you know, 23, 24 years. Working in, on the back side in the morning is mostly, you know, in the morning time. So I had the afternoons off. So I was looking for something to do in the afternoons. And I started working at Arlington Park in the paddock, the paddock assistant. And I did that for a couple of years. And then finally, a job in the jocks room came open, the assistant clerk of scales. And at the time, Frank Gabriel Jr. was the racing secretary. And he approached me about, you know, if I was interested in the position, and I said, of course. So I applied for it, and sure enough, I got the job, and I was the assistant for a number of years. And in my travels, you know, south for the winter to New Orleans, I would stop here in Kentucky, and I filled in a few times for the gentleman who was the assistant clerk of scales here at Churchill and Keeneland. Eventually the position of clerk of scales became available here in Kentucky. And once again, the racing secretary, Ben Huffman, asked me if I was interested. I said, yeah, of course. He said, well, you know, to apply for it. And I did. And I sure enough, I got the job. And that's how I became the clerk of scales here at Churchill and Keeneland and Kentucky Downs also. So it just progressed. You know, I mean, I paid my dues. I worked long enough where eventually whoever was the clerk retired or moved on to a higher position. So that's how I got to be the clerk of scales here in the Kentucky track. So, I think I've been the clerk of scales here at Churchill and Keeneland. I want to say maybe 17 years, maybe something like that.
I've been here a long time. Wow. I didn't know it had been that long.
Yeah. I started counting and for sure Keeneland, I started in 2003. So it's been about that many years. So.
Did I read somewhere, Javier, that even before you went down that path and started working in the racing office and then, of course, eventually leading to being the clerk of scales, that you actually spent a little bit of time as a cook in the jocks room too?
I did. this was when I was still in high school, and I was rubbing horses during the summer at Arlington for Richard Hazleton, Scott Hazleton, who was an anchor on TVG. I worked for his dad in the morning, and I would run during their break time. I would run up to the jock's kitchen because everybody knows the best food on any racetrack is the jock's kitchen. So I would run up there to get something for breakfast, and it happened. So one morning, the young lady who was running the kitchen, Anna Gabriel, she was by herself, and she usually had someone in there helping her. I'm like, where's your helper? And she said, oh, she's sick. I said, well, do you need help? And she said, yeah, if you don't mind. I said, well, as soon as I get done at the barn, I'll come back and help you. She goes, man, that'd be great. So sure enough, I finished, you know, taking care of my horses, doing them up, and I came to the kitchen and I put on an apron and I started washing dishes and you know, cooking burgers or whatever she needed me to do. And it was fun. It was fun working in the kitchen. I had to be about 16 years old.
Yeah, you're not wrong about the best food at any racetrack being in the jocks room. It's amazing. You know, and people, you know, there's another thing that people listening to the program right now may not even realize, that, you know, that in every jocks room across the country, you're going to have a kitchen where the jockeys can grab some food in between the races. Usually it's not a lot because they're trying to keep their weight down, but that food is simply outstanding.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, every racetrack, and everybody, you know, all the racetrackers, trainers, and owners, they know that the best, you know, the best food is in the jocks room kitchen. A little story here in Chester Thomas, an owner. He always calls me. He goes, man, can I come up there and get a burger? I said, yeah, come on. I mean, they have burgers in the grandstand, but he always wants to come and get one in the jocks room because I guess he thinks they're better there.
Well, I can vouch for them personally. They're pretty good, especially here at Keeneland, by the way, where Jill Babe does a fantastic job with all of her food. She's incredible. Javier, what does a clerk of scales do? What does the job entail?
Well, everyone thinks right off the bat, clerk of scales, that basically that my job is to, you know, to weigh the riders before they ride, and then the top four finishers after the race. They think that that's basically all the job entitles, and it's so much more. I mean, I'm basically in charge of all the jockeys, you know, to make sure they show up on time, which is anywhere from 30 to 40 jocks on a daily base. And then I have 13 valets, and the valets are the guys that saddle the horses. I mean, their primary job is to saddle the horses, and their secondary job is to take care of the jocks' equipment, their helmets, their goggles, their boots, make sure everything's clean and everything's, you know, safe and up to par. So, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, in the room on any given day, you know, I'm responsible for 50 people, you know. Wow. And there's a silks coordinator. He's in charge of maintaining the silks, make sure they're clean, make sure the right silks go on the right jock for every race. So all that falls under my privy. So I have to make sure that everything's basically running like a well-oiled machine. Another thing that my job entitles is any change, scratches, ownership corrections, you know, equipment changes, everything goes through me. The stewards give me the change, and then I funnel it through to different outlets, the press box, the bookkeeper, the announcer, the TV department. Like I said, everything that, you know, anytime you're at the track, or even if you're not at the track, and the little scrolling thing on the bottom of every racetrack says, you know, gives you changes, scratched horses, equipment changes, you know, overweights, all that goes through. It gets channeled through the clerk of scales. At the end of every race, we have to take down a rundown. Basically, we have to put down the order of finish on a sheet, pay sheet, so the bookkeeper knows, you know, who gets paid what, you know, as far as jockeys, you know, who won the race, who was second, who was third, so on and so forth, so she can pay them accordingly.
Wow. Wow, there is a lot to it. It's not just weighing jockeys in and making sure that they're, you know, that they're the same weight that they are after the race that they were before, but that is part of it too. That's an important part of the job.
Yeah. I mean, everyone always asks, well, you know, especially, you know, people who are new to the game or whatever, and they'll see me out by the winner's circle, and they'll see me weighing the, like I said, the top four finishers, and they'll say, oh, you know, why are you weighing them? And I explain to them that in the program, they'll carry different weights for different races, depending on the condition of the race, so on and so forth, the horse's age, blah, blah, blah. So what we're checking for after the race is to make sure that they don't come back under that weight that's in the program. For example, if they're carrying 118 pounds, that's the jockey with a saddle. So we're making sure that he's not under 118. Now, they're always going to be over that number because there's certain equipment that they don't check with. They don't check with their helmet. They don't check with their safety vest. They don't check with their overgirth. That's considered safety equipment, so that doesn't count into the weight. So they're always going to be, you know, two, three, four pounds over, always. And sometimes more on a muddy day or when it's raining, they're going to, you know, because they're going to be soaking wet. So what we're basically checking for more than anything is that they don't come back underneath that weight.
Yeah, that they haven't somehow gotten lighter during the running of the race.
Exactly, exactly. That's considered cheating, you know, basically. And knock on wood, that's never, ever happened while I was the clerk of scales. I hope it never does. The last time something like that occurred, I want to say, was in the Belmont Stakes. I don't maybe 10, 12 years ago, maybe further back. It was a horse trained by Kieran McLaughlin, I believe. And I think Rajiv Mirage rode the horse. And to make the weight for the race, he had to add a 4-pound pad, which is a rubber pad that goes underneath the saddle, to make the weight. And during the running of the race, the pad slipped out from underneath the saddle and came out. So when Rajiv came back to the scale, he was under the weight. So he didn't carry the correct weight during the running of the race, so he got disqualified. And I want to say he finished third and got disqualified to last. So, I mean, that's a big deal because, you know, that's a good amount of money for the owner, you know, and for the jockey too, and I'm sure it caused Kieran too. But they went back and reviewed the film and saw that where the pad accidentally slipped out. So the jockey, you know, nobody got in trouble for it. It was just a mishap. So that's the last time I can recall something like that happening.
Yeah, just incredible. Talking with a man who is indeed a true unsung hero in our sport, that is Javier Torres, the longtime clerk of scales here in Kentucky. He works at Keeneland. He works at Churchill Downs. And you heard him say he works at Kentucky Downs. And, Javier, you talk about all the different jockeys that you're responsible for and the different valets that are all kind of underneath your watch, if you will, if you want to look at it in that fashion. One thing that's very unique about thoroughbred racing is that when, for example, in other sports like the NFL, both teams at halftime will go back to a separate locker room. That doesn't happen in horse racing. All of the competing jockeys are in the same room together. Do you ever have to be a referee when the competition gets a little bit heated?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Yeah, I mean, like you said, in any other sport, you know, the opposing team goes to their own locker room separately. You know, I mean, in our sport, you know, the competing jockeys, you know, after races, they come back to the same locker room. So, you know, if someone feels like they got maybe, you know, squeezed a little or, you know, put in a tight spot, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, they might, they come back and sometimes, you know, the argument gets heated. And, you know, I personally, I don't condone any, you know, fighting in the room. I mean, sometimes, I'm like I said, I'm walking back to the room and I come back and, you know, they tell me, oh, you know, there was a little scrap. I never saw it or whatever. But in my presence, I don't allow it. I don't like it to happen. You know, I mean, accidents can happen and you know, I mean, it can get, you know, serious, you know. So I don't condone it. To say that it doesn't happen, I'm not going to lie. It does because, you know, I mean, they're out there competing on these horses going 35, 40 miles an hour. I mean, you can easily get hurt or killed. I mean, you know, it's not something where you can take very lightly, you know. And I could imagine being in a race, getting put in a tight spot and, you know, I mean, almost going down or something. I mean, you got to be on pins and needles and it's got to shake you up, you know. So, yeah, they do. I mean, sometimes, you know, they just basically words or, you know, why did you do this and back and forth. And, you know, and like I said, in my presence, I don't allow them to fight because, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, let them do it. No, I don't believe in it. I don't like it. I don't like to see that, you know. But to say that it happens and, you know, if it happened before I get back to the room or after when I'm not in my presence, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it, but, you know. But you got to understand, like I said, they're out there competing and in a split second. They can be down and hurt and it's dangerous, you know? So, I mean, you could understand how high the level of their adrenaline has got to be, you know? And I mean, to turn it on and off is not easy. I can't believe it's easy. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm a referee. I mean, on one occasion, actually, during the Breeders' Cup at Churchill, and, I mean, it was on national television, Javier Castellano and Calvin Burrell. I mean, they had, you know, there was a situation there, and, I mean, they started swinging at each other, and I was caught in the middle. And I think they hit me more than they hit each other. So. But, yeah, on occasion, I got to be a referee, so.
Yeah, and I've seen you do your job. I've been fortunate enough to sit in the jocks room. We do a lot of interviews with jockeys leading up to big races, and you're always a tremendous help to us. that is another one of your jobs. You work with the media, Horse Racing Radio Network, NBC, TVG, whoever it might be that's looking to coordinate some type of interview with the jockeys. You're the one who oftentimes goes back into the jocks room, gets the jockey, brings them out, gets them to the area they need to be, and handles a lot of those timings too.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of the job too, and I think it's good, and I try to tell these young jocks or even jockeys that come from South American countries that their English isn't that great. I tell them, listen, you need to work on speaking better English and learning English, so those opportunities that you get to be interviewed, I mean, you're well-spoken, and, people will say, oh, I don't understand what he's saying, I mean, it's only going to benefit them, and it's going to benefit all of us, in the industry, I mean, basically, they're the rock stars of the game, they're the stars. So any positive light that we can, promote and get out there, I think it's a plus-plus, and you guys, you guys are putting, our industry, you're putting it out there to the masses. So, I mean, and you guys are all a pleasure to work with, you, Michelle, everybody at, like you said, NBC, so it's a pleasure to work with you guys because you guys are trying to make us look good, make the industry look good and show the betting public, the fans, what we're about,
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And likewise, too, it's always a delight to work with Javier Torres, who is this week's unsung hero presented by Claiborne. Javier, a couple more questions before we wrap up this segment here this morning. After, what'd you say, 17 years or so of being the clerk of scales at Keeneland and at the Kentucky tracks here, do you view yourself as more of a father figure to some of the younger riders that come in there and you're teaching them about the way that they're going to handle themselves, or is it more a brother figure where you're almost brother to brother when you're talking to them?
I guess it depends. I mean, because it's such a vast group of guys in there, jockeys, their ages range, from, I mean, I got a jock in there that I think yesterday, an apprentice that just won a race. I think it's like 16, 17 years old. And, then I got the older jocks, John Court, who, I mean, he's a few years older than me, but he's a veteran jock, and I mean the ultimate professional. So I mean, what can I teach John that he doesn't already know? But yeah, I mean to the older guys, yeah, they're more like like brothers, like a Corey Lannery, a Robbie Alvarado, those guys, because we're closer in age. But these young riders, the Tyler Gaffleones, the Ortiz boys, guys like that, if I see that they need to, hone on something or tap into something. Yeah, I'll tell them, listen, I see this, you should try this. It might help you or whatever, as far as, and not necessarily a riding point of view or whatever, because I never rode races, but anything to, like I said, English, better your English. It's only going to help you. There's some of these jocks that, that they don't put that extra effort to learn how to speak better English, it's only going to help them. It's going to help their business, and so the day they do get interviewed, they're well-spoken, people understand them, and, they're making that extra effort. So stuff like that, always, be courteous, say thank you and stuff like that, just stuff that might seem like a small thing, but it goes a long way when they do it, so.
We started this segment talking about the fact that there are plenty of people that are tuned in that don't even know that there is a clerk of scales at a racetrack, and I think now they do. If somebody comes to you, Javier, and asks you about being a clerk of scales, what are you going to tell them that the number one greatest thing is about being the clerk of scales?
Man, there's so many. Honestly, my dad always said, he said, if you do what you love, it's not work. And he's right. I mean, because I love being at the racetrack. I love the horses. Of course, the horses are number one. I mean, I think we're all in this industry for the love of the horse. I mean, you take the horse out, none of us are there. Jockeys, myself, racing officials. I mean, you guys have nothing to cover. So, I mean, we're there for the horse. And just being around the horses and being at the track is the best. Now, my job personally, I mean, I get to hang out with these you know, unbelievable athletes. I mean, they are. I mean, pound for pound, the best athletes, I say. You know, and they're great guys. They're great people. I mean, they're family. You know, I mean, we're a family. We really are. I mean, I stop and think about it. I mean, I probably spend more time in the jocks room with the jocks and valets and the guys I work with than I do my own family. I mean, you know, and so how could they not be considered family when I spend all that time with, you know? So, and we are, you know, all them guys are, they're close. Yeah, I get heated, but trust me, at the end of the day, they have respect for each other. You know, everybody congratulates everybody. Everybody, you know, it's fun to be in a room, you know. And yes, it's serious business at work, but we have fun in there. We have, you know, we got some practical jokers in there, and you know, they play jokes, and it's fun. It's fun, you know. It's that brotherly camaraderie that you know, that unites everybody, and it's fun, you know. I mean, who we get paid to go and have fun.
The jocks love
riding. You know, if you ask 95-96% of them, if they do it for nothing, they'd say, yep, because they love riding horses, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Who's the biggest prankster in the jocks room?
Ooh, the biggest prankster. Let me think. Right now, Calamo likes to, he likes to play. Corey Lannery. Corey Lannery dishes out pretty good now. He can't take it very good, but he likes to dish it out. And trust me, everybody likes to get Corey because he's so easy. He's so easy to get. So there's a couple of them that are pretty good. I mean,
yeah, fantastic stuff. Javier Torres, this week's unsung hero, presented by Claiborne. Javier, listen, man, congratulations on this honor here this morning, and keep up the wonderful work. This sport cannot function without your job and without your dedication and efforts and everything you do. So congratulations, and keep it rolling, my friend.
Man, thank you so much. Thank you so much for, I mean, you say unsung hero, and I mean, it sounds good, and you know, I'm just a small part in a big wheel, brother, and you know, we all love the game, and we got our part to do, and keep it rolling.
You're the best. Javier Torres here on Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. I'll be right back after this word from Claiborne Farm.
DeMarchelier offers breeders a rare opportunity. His pedigree includes 9 Grade 1 winners under the first 3 dams, including classic winner Galileo Crone. A TDN rising star at 2, he went on to capture victories at Keeneland and Belmont, including the Grade 3 Pennine Ridge Stakes. By Sire of Sires Dubawi, whose top sons include the sensational sire Knight of Thunder. The only stallion by Dubawi in Kentucky. DeMarchelier, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Oh, what a fun segment that was. If you missed it, you can go back and check out the podcast later after the show on our website, horseracingradio.net. And again, my thanks to Claiborne and to Javier Torres for making that one possible here this morning. If you know someone you feel should be an unsung hero, you can nominate them by sending me an email, mike@horseracingradio.net. Somebody you feel needs to be recognized as doing great work behind the scenes, send them to me. I will do my best to have them on this unsung hero segment in the weeks and the months ahead.